views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Light shines on Lyme disease. Limelight Radio with Katina Macris is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential to expand awareness and activate change to eliminate Lyme disease for good. Limelight Radio is a much-needed venue for the USA's number one fastest-spreading infectious illness. Katina is an award-winning author, a natural healthcare practitioner with over 30 years' experience, and most importantly, a healing force with her own personal Lyme journey. Be part of a movement to help end the suffering and confusion surrounding Lyme disease and begin to take action. Now here's your host, Katina Macris. Then I go.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Katina Macris, and welcome to Limelight Radio. It is with great honor I interview the preeminent research pathologist today, Dr. Alan MacDonald. Many people recall Dr. MacDonald and his historic work linking Lyme disease, Borrelia burgdorferi, to dementia, Alzheimer's, sudden infant death syndrome, multiple sclerosis, while at Southampton Hospital Labs, New York. He was featured in the documentary film Under Our Skin. Though the Center for Disease Control in 2013 upped their annual estimated new acute Lyme disease infection count from the long-standing approximate 30,000 cases per year, 10 times higher to 300,000 cases per year, we can't help wonder where these several hundred thousands of cases each year have been. What kind of symptoms do people exhibit and yet have not been diagnosed with Lyme disease? Are they dementia cases, fibromyalgia, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, chronic fatigue syndrome? Dr. MacDonald shared with me that Germany has a public health care system with meticulous diagnostic and treatment record keeping. They acknowledge Lyme disease diagnosis by clinical symptoms and openly treat it. In 2012, Germany reported 750,000 new Lyme disease cases. In 2013, Germany recorded 1 million new Lyme disease cases. This country's population is one-third the size of the United States. Our country is using an outdated lab test, screening for only one strain out of 300-plus for Borrelia burgdorferi, and will adhere to a standard diagnosis from the Infectious Disease Society and Center for Disease Control of merely four qualifying symptoms for Lyme disease diagnostics: bullseye rash, joint knee pain, meningitis migraine, Bell's palsy, facial droop. So today I say thank you to Dr. Alan MacDonald for your commitment to the Lyme disease crisis, for your tireless research, and for joining us today on Limelight Radio and sharing neuroborreliosis with us.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me to be here. I'm a happy pathologist. You know, we pathologists don't get to see the outside world very much. We're often busy in the lab, and we're what they call the lab when they send material in for diagnoses. We're the people that do that diagnosis for the patient, and yet the patient never really gets to know who we are. So I'm glad to get out in front and say hello to everybody. And I'd like to encourage people to think about what we're going to say today and think about some new ways of looking at a big problem.
Yes, yes. It's really, as I said, my honor to have you here. And I hope I got the information correct on those facts and figures. And I have always looked up to you with those amazing years of research that you were doing down at Southampton. And gosh, what vast numbers of of cases and material you looked at. Let's get into some of that work you've unearthed, Dr. McDonald, and that first, you know, question that comes up to me as you and I were chatting before is the whole concept of neurological conditions that present with this kind of infection and that whole piece of demyelination.
You know, the nervous system is the ultimate target for spirochetes that can cause injury. So when we had syphilis as a public health problem, the nervous system took a lot of damage in various areas, and there were many different wrinkles that you could have when the syphilis spirochete got into the nervous system. And I think that the model of syphilis is that the spirochete, either syphilitic or Borrelia in our time with Lyme disease, can hit any target it wants in the nervous system. And it can cause a variety of a long list of diseases that we won't have time to cover today. But if you say that every chapter in the textbook of neurology will have a condition that could be caused or is caused in part by Borrelia infection, you'd be right, just as you would be correct by saying that every chapter in the neurology textbook in the heyday of syphilis could be caused by syphilitic infection. So the model is most of my research I just stole from reading the old syphilis literature and then applying some of those lessons, hard-earned lessons, to a new public health problem.
Yes, so that's, you know, you put two and two together, literally.
I think that being a student, it's important to know history, and it's important to depend on the really excellent work of people who were once here, leaders like Sir William Osler and physicians at the turn people, and they figured out a lot of things, and the things that they helped to solve will help us, too, to solve problems here in our time.
Yes, I can imagine that. And so down when you were doing that work in Southampton and you would see, you know, behind the scenes, as you said, in the pathology department, what got you dialed into the whole Borrelia situation?
I was recruited by Dr. Jorge Benach, and Dr. Benach now is a university professor at Stony Brook and a world authority on Borrelia. At that time, he was a young professor starting his career. And he wanted to get us to participate with a clinical mix of patients from various medical specialties. He was working on a blood test at the time. He had been very very instrumental in finding the tick that went to Rocky Mountain Laboratory, the Dr. Bergdorfer, dissected, and then because of that dissection, he saw spirochetes inside the tick intestinal tract, and he knew at that time immediately, the light bulb went on, that he had discovered the long unknown, long sought agent of Lyme disease. When Dr. Benach came out to us, he wanted to see if we could get people in pediatrics and obstetrics and ophthalmology and orthopedics and all of the specialties, rheumatology, to try to look for the disease in their specialty. And they did. They were all very interested. They were very cooperative, very very positive. And as a result of that work, we had a big full-day symposium on Lyme disease in Southampton, and we had all of the medical specialties, from pediatrics to geriatrics, come and present cases where their patient came with a problem that could have been called something else, but in studying the problem further, they found that it was a type of Lyme disease in their specialty. So it made it very interesting. It was a very interesting program, and Dr. Bergdorfer was there. He was our keynote speaker. And
That's
we got a
amazing.
Lot of energy
what
from
What year
that.
Was that?
That was 1987, We had the audience was packed in the lecture hall, and we passed around a wireless microphone like they used to do, and they still do on some talk shows. And people would grab the microphone, get up, and ask Dr. Bergdorf for a question, and then he would answer it, and then we'd pass the microphone around to somebody else. And there was a lot of good exchange of information, a lot of good public education at that time.
Yes, I can imagine so. And being out there on Long Island, you were really probably loaded with cases.
We did have a lot of cases because, you know, the tick that was dissected came from Shelter Island. And Shelter Island is about 10 miles from the hospital, Southampton Hospital. And Southampton is on the shore of eastern Long Island. So it is along the flyway. So the birds that fly from, Canada down to Florida, they often land in the tall grass. And if they're carrying ticks from somewhere else, they can have ticks drop off and then set up new problems in infection in our vacation area. Now, it's not just Lyme disease. We had babesiosis. We had Rocky Mountain spotted fever. We had all of the tick-transmitted diseases in our community, and we had to deal with each one of them on an individual basis and get it right. And we did a very good job. We had Dr. Banach to help us, and we ultimately set up our own blood testing laboratory. We made our own reagents. We did the testing on site and in the hospital, and we found a lot of cases.
Yes,
and everybody.
I was looking at your website. Could you tell our listeners the website, because you're loaded with information there and videos too.
All right, I have several websites, but the website that would cover the Southampton time would be the website. It's www. Borreliosis, Borreliosis, Alzheimer, Alzheimer, .net. So the two words run together, and then there's a dot, and then N-E-T. And you'll find a lot of my lectures there from years ago, a lot of my papers in full print form, and pictures and other commentaries, some correspondence there, and I have a lot of interesting little tidbits from my career.
Yes.
On that site.
Yeah, it's just a great website. So, Dr. McDonald, hold your thoughts because we have to go to station break.
Okay.
And audience, stay with us because we've got a lot to cover here with Dr. McDonald. This is Katina Makris with Limelight Radio. We'll be right back.
Psychic World, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, with John G. Sutton, featuring his special guest, Countess Truella. One of Britain's most respected psychic mediums, John is an internationally published author, poet, and professional clairvoyant. His best-selling books include Psychic Pets, featured with John on the Walt Disney Channel, Animal Planet. Currently, John is the feature editor of the monthly Psychic World, which is the UK's Journal of Spiritualism. He has over 30 years of experience working in the field of paranormal studies. Countess Storella has an incredible ability to visualize your future in a positive, passionate way. This show offers all listeners the chance to call in and speak directly to John or the amazing Countess Torella. You can ask your personal questions about love, career, money, relationships, or whatever is troubling you in this often difficult life. What dreams may come? Join John G. Sutton and Countess Torella to discover your answer. See www.psychicworld.net.
Tune in to Angels and Answers with Artie Hoffman, the hottest psychic with the warmest heart, every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time and 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio. With passion and a sense of humor, he delivers spiritual and motivational messages for both individuals and groups of people and is internationally known for his amazing psychic abilities. Don't forget to call in at 800-930-2819 for live on-air readings and visit Artie at ArtieHoffman.com. Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com. Hi, I'm Dr. Pat. I want to introduce you to my friends at BioResource, the exclusive Beyond Balance distributor in the United States and Canada. Used clinically by top Lyme doctors, Beyond Balance herbal formulas have helped thousands of patients battle tick-borne disease by providing superior immune system support and enhancing detoxification. Beyond Balance formulas are sold through healthcare professionals. The oral drops contain non-GMO food-grade vegetable glycerin, making them well-tolerated by children and alcohol sensitive patients. Practitioners often complement Beyond Balance formulas with high-quality homeopathic such as Pecanus Bigeric remedies to enhance patient results. For more information, licensed or certified healthcare practitioners can call BioResource, the exclusive Beyond Balance distributor for the United States and Canada at 800-203-3775. That's 800-203-3775. And together, let's win the battle against Lyme disease.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the year. Welcome back to Limelight Radio. This is Katina Macris, and we're visiting with Dr. Alan McDonald today. And thank you, Dr. McDonald, for giving us that historical insight into the Lyme disease situation back in the 80s and all that wonderful research work you were doing. So can we get back into your understanding of multiple sclerosis and Lou Gehrig's disease and how those link into this kind of infection?
All right, well, these are chronic infections or chronic, infections by everybody's ruler, but by my ruler, I think some of them are infection-related neural degenerations. And multiple sclerosis has for many years, actually since probably about 1910 or so, been linked by various people in Europe and later here in this country, especially Dr. Gabriel Steiner, with the idea that a notion that the spirochete of some sort could be identified by a microscopic study in autopsy brains from people who had multiple sclerosis, and therefore he thought that, like syphilis, the spirochete was the cause of the multiple sclerosis. And multiple sclerosis causes progressive disability in people. Not everybody gets the worst case, not everybody goes to wheelchair status, but some people do, unfortunately. And the disease is marked by flare-ups and then by cooling-off periods. So they call it exacerbations and remissions. They call it relapses and recurrences or remissions. So this fluctuating pattern is very typical of what we see in Lyme disease, because people who have Lyme disease will have good times and then not-so-good times. And this happens while they're on treatment or while they're off treatment, but their symptoms do fluctuate. The model for this fluctuation is relapsing fever Borrelia, which is a first cousin of Borrelia burgdorferi. And relapsing fever is transmitted by a tick. It's different from the Lyme spirochete. It causes fevers that go, and then they come, and they go, and they come. And they are confused with malaria, because malaria has fevers that come and go. But these are infections of the blood transmitted by insects to man, and it's a blood-to-blood scenario. So the insect feeds on the blood of a reservoir animal and then holds the infection spirochetes in the tick system and then bites man, and then man gets infected with the spirochetes. Now, with multiple sclerosis, the problem is what causes the loss of myelin. And Dr. Steiner and people since then, and myself in this recent time, have stained autopsy brains from people who died of multiple sclerosis and had bad disease. And we could find in those stained, specially stained sections of the autopsy brain, spirochetes in the area where the multiple sclerosis was doing its damage. They call these areas plaques. And plaques are areas where the brain is damaged. They're often near the ventricle system. They tend to be clustered in later disease. They may be one or two small areas early in the disease. They may appear on scans and then disappear and then pop up in another area. So in many respects, the way it behaves is reminiscent of what the spirochete does. It moves around in the body, and it can pop up in one area, cause trouble, then move along and move to another area, and the injury may heal in the first area of symptoms, and then there'll be a new area of injury. Our work now is the charitable foundation. It's a tax-deductible foundation. It's called the Dr. Paul DeRay Research Fellowship Endowment. And we're studying multiple sclerosis. Specifically, we're looking at the spinal fluid. And we have some excellent new 21st century tools. We call them DNA probes. And these are specialized reagents that can identify the Borrelia DNA and not lock on to or bind to any human DNA. So we've had some preliminary studies where we can prove that the probes do work. They can pick up minute amounts of Borrelia, non-human DNA, in spinal fluid from people who have neurologic conditions related to Borrelia in the nervous system. And we want to expand on this and study a lot of people with multiple sclerosis from this country and from around the world and see if we can find any of them who have DNA of the Borrelia in their multiple sclerosis spinal fluid. So we're doing an outreach. The test is free. We're looking for people to send us specimens that have been stored after they've been tested in their usual hospital laboratory, and send us what they would normally throw away in the garbage can. Send it to us and let us look for the DNA of the bug.
That's tremendous. That's
now,
tremendous.
If you want to learn more about this, the website for this research is lyme-ms-pathology, pathology.com. And you'll be able to visit the site and see what we're talking about and what the spirochetes look like from the multiple sclerosis brain.
That's wonderful, Dr. McDonald, and I will blog that for you, and I'll get it up in all the different ways I can to get people to participate in this study. I know that you had shared with me that Norway has the highest MS per capita in the world, doesn't it?
Yes. Norway is in the Scandinavian country lineup. It's at the top of the list for multiple sclerosis. And there is what they call a multiple sclerosis geography, and that is that there's an area around the world that is in the longitude of the northern countries. So we have Norway, all Scandinavia, we have Great Britain, we have northern U.S., Minnesota, Wisconsin, we have Canada, out to Washington, D.C., and then across into the Japanese and Russian areas, which are in the same latitude. So it doesn't tend to go as much into the warmer southern climates. It tends to be more often diagnosed in northern climates. And since the equator, of course, has our geography, our temperatures and everything south of the equator, there is a multiple sclerosis band in the southern hemisphere, too. It goes down the tip of South America into South Africa and into Australia. These are interesting because if you do a map and you look at where the ticks are that transmit Borrelia, they're in the same geographic areas as we have high incidence of multiple sclerosis. We have more evidence that Borrelia may be connected to multiple sclerosis through the work of Dr. Brosen. And that is on the website, and you will see his work. He studied in his laboratory 10 spinal fluids from patients, 10 different patients with multiple sclerosis, and he was able to find the spirochete in 10 out of 10 and grow it in culture and do electron micrograph studies to prove that what he was seeing was the spirochete, and it was a Borrelia spirochete. That work was done in 2001. That really sweetens the pot for us because here we have now world authority on Borrelia, a man who is respected in Scandinavia, a man who's wheelchair-bound himself and has been for his entire career a great microbiologist, and he is interested in Borrelia and multiple sclerosis. So we'll be looking for spinal fluids from Scandinavia, from Australia, from South Africa, from Russia, from Japan, from the U.S., of course, Great Britain, and the northern countries in Europe.
Putting it all together like a big jigsaw puzzle.
It will be a big jigsaw puzzle. It will be the largest international study of multiple sclerosis that has ever been undertaken. It will be free to all the participants. Nobody will have to pay a dime for us to do the studies. They'll get their results directly. They won't need to have anybody's permission to participate if they are an MS patient and they were interested in the study. They're welcome to contact us directly to get what is stored from their spinal fluid in a laboratory or in a multiple sclerosis spinal fluid bank. Send some of that to us, and we'll do the test and send them a result. Everything's confidential, and everything is free.
That's wonderful. So I'm going to say the website again. It's lyme-ms-pathology.com. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Good. And, so we want
you'll see
to-
more of our results as they become available. We want people to be involved, and we want people to know about it. If you don't have multiple sclerosis, you might know somebody who does. And maybe that person who's not listening today would like to know about this study and maybe participate, send us some spinal fluid. We'd
yes,
be very grateful if they would, and we'll be happy to do the test for free.
That's wonderful, Dr. McDonald. I know when I was so sick with Lyme, I had foot drop, and I was convinced I had MS, and I was in and out of the neurology office, like, you know, 7-8 appointments, and you know, they could never diagnose the Lyme, the crippling meningitis, migraine pains, etc. And I can only imagine how many other people are struggling in that in-between stage, whether it's not really truly MS, but they have MS-like symptoms. So I think you working on this study here is going to be really fundamental for our future.
Well, I hope that we can make a positive contribution, and we want to help people. We want to help them to get an opportunity to move their condition from something that is unknown, mysterious, and move that into, if they have the DNA in their spinal fluid from Borrelia, into the column which says, you have an infection. And we know how to deal with infections. We treat it with antibiotics.
Yes, that's a huge difference, isn't it? So, Dr. McDonald, we have more to talk about, and it's time for our station break. So, listeners, stay with us. We've got more great news from Dr. McDonald. This has been fascinating so far. This is Limelight Radio with Katina Makris. We'll be right back.
Now the night has gone, now the night has gone away. Doesn't seem that long, we hardly had two words to say.
There is not just one kind of radio show. Some radio shows are all about busting through and getting unstuck from the crust in your life. But the Dr. Pat Show, well, she does it all. She's been helping people in all aspects of their life now for 10 years. Her interview style, her unique personality, the amazing guests she has on her show are all factors of what makes an amazing radio show. Please join Dr. Pat in celebrating 10 extraordinary years of talk radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat. Thank you for supporting us for the past 10 years. We are promising each and every one of you that this coming year, our 10th year anniversary, will be the best yet. We will be paying forward so many ideas, so many tools, so many gifts to all of you because you have inspired us to be better and better and better each year. For more information, please make sure you stay tuned to TransformationTalkRadio.com or TheDrPatShow.com. And remember, join me. Let's live life full out together.
Are you ready to give your home a fresh look but don't want to do the work? Help is a phone call away. Kathy's Handy is a full-service general contracting company specializing in home improvement, remodeling, and repairs. Kathy's Handy are specialists in kitchens, baths, fireplace makeovers, and finished carpentry, and they partner with other amazing specialty subcontractors needed to complete any job. Friendly, energetic, and dependable with an impeccable reputation to get the job done while keeping you as comfortable as possible during the transformation of your home is the hallmark of Kathy's Handy. Call Kathy now for a free estimate. 206-715-8126. That's 206-715-8126. And visit kathyshandy.com for a complete view of possibilities for your home.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit TheDrJulieShow.com.
Welcome back to Limelight Radio, everyone. This is Katina Makris, and we are in the midst of a fascinating discussion with Dr. McDonald on neurological ramifications of Borrelia infections. So, Dr. McDonald, we just learned so much from you about MS. Could you share with our audience your knowledge about the motor neuron forms of possible consequences from a Borrelia infection?
Train of thought is that syphilis could do everything in the nervous system and could mimic every known neurologic disease. So there was a syphilitic motor neuron disease. And because motor neuron disease is often heavily spinal cord disease, although it does involve upper, in the brain regions, in addition to the spinal cord, I came back from Vienna in 1985 after a meeting with the idea that Lou Gehrig's disease or amyotrophic lateral sclerosis might be the spinal cord equivalent of a syphilitic disease of the spinal cord, but this would be due to Borrelia in the spinal cord. And I did some studies in 1986. I got blood from all of the ALS clinics in the New York metropolitan area through the Muscular Dystrophy Association, the MDA, and also from a city in Massachusetts called Middleborough, Massachusetts, where they had 29 cases of fatal ALS within a one-mile square area in Middleborough, Massachusetts. And that got a lot of press because 29 cases in a single square mile area is huge. That means a cluster. And a cluster means that it might be due to something in the environment rather than just bad genes in your body. We then found that testing the blood, 25% of New York and the Massachusetts cases were positive for Lyme antibodies at that time.
Wow.
And we started to recruit people who were interested in participating to get the ceftriaxone, which is the big gun antibiotic for treating motor neuron disease, ALS.
Mm-hmm.
And we did recruit some patients, and we had some patients who had partial reversal, which means that in normal ALS, when you you get it, you gradually lose the ability to move muscles, and you become more and more paralyzed, and eventually you're on a respirator. Once you lose muscle function in ALS, it's gone forever. It never, ever comes back. Now, in MS, which is multiple sclerosis, you can lose muscle function, and then it will pop back and be normal again. So that has a fluctuating up and down. But with ALS or Lou Gehrig's, it's a one-way downhill trajectory to death within about a year and a half to two after they make the diagnosis. My good friend, Dr. David Martz, recovered from ALS after receiving high-dose antibiotic therapy. Now, Dr. Martz is president of the Colorado Medical Association, and he is a distinguished leader in the medical community. He was told initially that he was going to be dead in a year and a half after they diagnosed him with ALS. He sought care with a doctor, Bill Harvey. Dr. Harvey had him on high-dose antibiotics. And over a period of 3 years, the muscle function that had been gone had been lost, returned. And he went from a score. They have a score to test how well your muscles are working, how good your strength is. It mm-hmm. goes from 0 to 48. He started his test with a score of around 17. And after about 3 to 4 years, he wound up with a score of 46. So
fantastic.
He's in effect cured by the antibiotics that were given to him, and he did not die. And 15 years later, he is now lecturing. He's running a clinic in Colorado Springs, Colorado. He's seen 900 ALS patients, and he has had other patients respond the way he did to antibiotics, and that is they go from near-death scores to complete cure. Now, of the 900, he hasn't been able to cure all 900 of them. Nobody could expect that. But to be able to cure any of them is extraordinary, and he has done that. So Dr. David Martz, M-A-R-T-Z, Colorado Springs, Colorado, has a facility that is dedicated to treating people who have ALS, and the work goes on there. People are free to contact him in Colorado and make an appointment to be seen in that clinic out there. They're doing very, very good work.
That's tremendous. I mean, I just, you know, I can't help but just feel such compassion when I see these, you know, wonderful athletes, these young men in their 20s and 30s that are stricken with ALS. And I think, oh, my gosh, you know, why these young strapping men so often? And as you said, you know, it can be endemic to an area that they're living in, right?
Well, yes. I mean, you know, it's named for Lou Gehrig. And Lou Gehrig passed away in 1941, and he was the Iron Man for the Yankees, you know, and he was a Columbia graduate. I went to Columbia Medical School, so we have some connection there. He, of course, died pretty rapidly from his disease, and you all remember him announcing his retirement, you know, in Yankee Stadium, and his speech saying, "I'm the luckiest man on the face of the earth," and that kind of thing. It was a terribly poignant story, but that was the story of Lou Gehrig, and the disease bears his name in honor of his great courage and leadership.
Yes,
so we want to do something better for Lou Gehrig. For the people who have motor neuron disease that might be something that can be treated with antibiotics and something that can be made better, can be made whole. One of the important clues is that the motor neuron disease degeneration has no pain associated with it. But often patients will come in with motor neuron disease symptoms and they'll say, geez, I got pain in my joints and pain in my knees and pain in my muscles and everything is hurting. And in addition to having weakness that's getting more and more pronounced, they have pain. Now, pain does not go along with ALS. And if you have pain and you're told that you have motor neuron disease, you probably don't have the type that killed Lou Gehrig. You might have a type that would be treatable with antibiotics because pain is almost impossible in the textbook form of motor neuron disease. So that one symptom tells you that you're dealing with something different.
Inflammation.
Inflammation. And, you know, Lyme disease causes pain. You know that, don't you?
Yep.
It does. And it people talk about total body pain, and that's what Dave Martz had. He had total body pain. He had terrible pain in his knees. And, you know, he didn't think about it at the time, but in 2020 hindsight, he goes back and says, you know, pain and ALS do not go together. And he's right. He's absolutely right.
Amazing.
So that's something
this
that the radio
really
audience should take away as a really an important point. If they know somebody who has ALS and they want to do something, they can let them know about this clinic in Colorado Springs that Dr. Martz has established, and also ask them whether they have pain. Do they have pain in their muscles? Do they have pain in their joints? Could
right.
it be that... you know, they would respond to antibiotics and be eligible for something like prolonged survival or even cure, like Dr.
That would
Martz.
Be that would be so. That's such illuminating information, Dr. McDonald, to be able to explain this to our audience. Thank you. So, audience, stay with us. It's time for our station break, and we're going to finish up the last of our interview with Dr. McDonald when we come back. This is Limelight Radio with Katina.
Thursdays at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern to Spirit Guidance Radio with Shannon Walbrand on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show with South Africa's top psychic will amaze and uplift you. Call in to receive detailed, specific answers that offer immediate solutions as Shannon interprets messages from your spirit guides. Whether it's love, business, or health, your spirit guides are ready to help. Visit ShannonWalbrand.com for more info. You are guided.
Of Limelight Radio. Do you or someone you know suffer with Lyme disease, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, MS, allergies, loss of wellness? I did, and advanced cell training has been a restorative, self-healing modality, bringing renewed health and energy to my life. Thousands of others rave about the remarkable success Gary Bleyer's cutting-edge healing approach at AdvancedCellTraining.com creates. Request their free DVD for self-healing work in the comfort of your own home at AdvancedCellTraining.com. Be inspired to heal in new and expansive ways. Your life is too precious to ignore.
Get inspired. Create the life you desire with internationally known radio hosts and motivational speakers Sue London. Thursdays on TransformationTalkRadio.com at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. Sue inspires millions of people to overcome difficult or traumatic situations in their lives. People feel hope, courage, and are ready to move forward after hearing Sue speak. Book motivational speaker Sue London for your next event at AskSueLondon.com. That's AskSueLondon.com.
called the Oprah of radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Welcome back to Limelight Radio, everyone. And thank you, Brian, for such fun music today.
Oh, you're welcome.
You're doing a great job. Dr. McDonald, we have a telephone caller on the line, Mary from Montana. Hi, Mary. Are you there?
Mary, are you there with us?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Mary. Welcome to Limelight Radio.
Hi.
What's your question?
What is my question?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just got connected like a couple of minutes right before the break. So I heard the statements that if you have pain with the ACLS symptoms, you know, it's definitely like it's known to be a sign of inflammation and you know, Lyme disease underlying bacterial infection. And I agree with that. I did have signs and symptoms of the paralysis. Progressive paralysis on the right side of my body, but it was with alternating pain and numbness, and it did clear up with long-term IV antibiotics. So anyway, I'm just confirming that I do believe that because that was my situation. I did have alternating severe pain and also alternating severe numbness, but it did all clear up with antibiotics. So
I'm just getting the tidbit here at the we had an interruption in our telephone line, so I'm glad to hear that antibiotics helped you with your condition. And was it called MS or was it called something else?
Well, no, I got it diagnosed as chronic late stage Lyme disease, Bartonella, Babesia, and Ehrlichiosis. However, the state of Montana, I got it diagnosed during a divorce in Montana, and during the divorce. In Montana, my spouse didn't want to pay for any of my medical care. So he and his attorney told the judge that I was making up my illness, that I'm nuts and crazy, and that my doctors, my treating specialists are quacks. So I was then forced to a psychiatrist who was on staff with doctors that misdiagnosed all my medical problems as just a virus. And so they locked me in solitary isolation and tried to lock me in the state mental hospital and fabricated I'm delusional somatic type. I mean, they drugged me and they actually had a court order to lock me in the Montana State Mental Hospital, fabricating I'm delusional somatic type. And they did it in absolute bad faith when I told them I was under the care of out-of-state specialists. You're denying me my rights to take my medication. You're denying me my right to take my antibiotics, my heart medication. My pain medication, they still did it in bad faith.
I'm so sorry that you had to go through
they
that.
They even took conservatorship and guardianship of all my assets. So,
I'm so sorry.
I was denied access. Yeah, and they wouldn't even let me contact an attorney. They wouldn't let me call my friends and family. It's brutal. So I'm going to be filing a discrimination case against the judge because he also denied me access to my assets. When I had private insurance and I was under the care of providers that were under my private insurance plan, I wasn't on state Medicaid or state Medi-Cal or any of that stuff.
Mary,
oh, it's so
I'm
sad.
So glad
I'm so
that you
sorry
recovered.
That you had to go through that. That's terrible.
Yeah. And I actually,
you know,
had...
There are many people who are treated not fairly, and there are many people, not only in this country, but overseas, who are treated unfairly and are not given any attention at all when they say they need care.
Thank you, Mary, for calling. I'm so glad you are getting better, and what a terrible time you've had, but it's good that you're on the mend.
Yeah, on top of it, I mean, they treated me just like Justina Peltier, you know, the child that's being abused in a psych ward. They did that to me as an adult, plus they also, on top of it, falsely accused me of my child's psych proxy and also put me in jail for that, and denied me rights of a jury trial and everything else. So it was like double jeopardy. I got falsely accused of Munchausen's by proxy. And then on top of that, they decided to accuse me that it was even making up my own illness.
I'm sorry, Mary. Well, thank you for sharing your story with us today
on
Limelight
Radio. I'm so sorry you went through that.
I know how difficult it is. And
I think we have to.
Yeah.
We have to find
I'm
a way
an
to
RN.
Do better.
But we
I'm
want to finish
RN.
Up a little bit of our interview with Dr.
Sure.
McDonald. So thank you, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
So,
thanks.
Dr. Mm-hmm. McDonald, we don't have a lot of time left today, but I just can't not let you get off the air without just touching upon Alzheimer, your understanding of the whole dementia-Alzheimer link to Lyme.
All right. In 1985, when I was coming back from Vienna, I had been at a meeting. I heard the words tertiary and Borrelia, and after primary, secondary. Tertiary, they said, was a form, and I was a student of syphilis. I knew that tertiary and syphilis could mean that there was dementia due to syphilis. So I said, if tertiary does exist in Lyme, maybe there is a dementia. And let me get my hands on some Alzheimer brains and see if anything comes of it. Well, I did. I got four brains. I grew the spirochetes from all four. They were Alzheimer brain bank specimens from the University of California, San Diego, Dr. George Glenner's laboratory. I sent my report off to the Journal of the American Medical Association, JAMA, and they were a little reluctant to publish it because the reviewer said that paper would cause mass panic and would cause a great deal of public unrest. So we reached a compromise, and I published the paper as a shorter letter to the editor. And instead of using Alzheimer's, I used the word dementia. So I said Borrelia in the brains of patients dying with dementia, knowing full well it was Alzheimer's, but I wasn't allowed to say Alzheimer's in public. So that was the first report in 1986. In 1987, repeated the work again, and then again in 1988, and I discovered the cystic form of Borrelia. It was the first discovery of the cystic form in human material in an Alzheimer brain. So those three papers were the basis for my career interest in the connection between long-term untreated Borrelia in the brain and the development of Alzheimer's, just as long-term untreated syphilis in the brain can cause dementia, which is called general paresis. So again, the syphilis model has come through again for me to help discover a new connection and to discover that perhaps more people are eligible for antibiotics rather than restraints and, nursing home care. We have recently completed a case study of a German physician who had a long history of positive blood tests, positive spinal fluid tests for Borrelia. He went on to develop dementia. They gave him antibiotics, and his score went from very, very low to almost normal. But he had complicating factors. He couldn't continue to take the antibiotics, and unfortunately, he did pass away. When we studied his brain, the widow insisted we study the brain, look for spirochetes. We did find Borrelia spirochetes in the brain. So we have a 7-year chronicle of positive blood tests, onset of dementia, treatment with antibiotics, dementia improves, and then unfortunately he did die. But at the time of the death, the autopsy did show Borrelia spirochetes in the brain.
Dr. McDonald, I can't believe I have to tell you this, but our hour is over.
Well, you know, we're having a good time here, and people are always very nice to listen. So thank you very much for giving me some time.
You are so fantastic. I am such a huge fan of your work. You are a genius. You have done so much for the world, and I want to have you back on Limelight Radio because we have more. We've got to learn from you. Thank you for coming on here.
I learn from everybody that I talk to. So I learn from everybody, and I'm always happy to be in a dialogue. I'm not here to speak as a monologue. I want to learn from everybody.
Oh, you're wonderful. Dr. McDonald, thank you for coming on Limelight Radio. It's been a privilege to have you today, and I'm going to have you back this summer.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And audience, join us next week. We love having you and getting your calls. This is Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. Goodbye.
I don't know what's up there beyond the sky.
You've been listening to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. Tune in each Wednesday at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Get ready for some of the most provocative conversation with leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. If you've missed any part of this hit radio show, visit LimelightRadio.com. That's LimelightRadio.com. We'll see you next week on Limelight Radio with Katina Macris.
Then I go to my brother and I say, brother, help me please.
What's getting your attention as physical pain or illness? Have doctors been unable to help? Consider an intuitive healing session with Christy Borst. Amazing things happen every day, sometimes with jolting awareness and sometimes with subtle shifts aided with Christy's divine healing gift. Release that which no longer serves you. For more information and to contact Christy, visit healingresonance.us. That's healingresonance.us.
Where do you desire to go in your life? Are you only looking outside yourself for the answers? What if you use your soul's wisdom to lead the way? So what is the soul, and how do you access its wisdom? Soul Suitcase with Victoria Cohen will unpack these questions and help you tap into and trust your own inner voice to solve everyday problems. Our Soul Suitcase is a treasure chest of wisdom inside us waiting to be discovered. Listen to Soul Suitcase while Victoria Cohen takes everyday situations like job loss, relationship struggles, parenting challenges, work stress, and health concerns and shows you how awakening to your inner voice helps you make more conscious choices where your life flows more smoothly with greater clarity, purpose, grace, and ease. As a psychotherapist and soul coach, Victoria has inspired thousands of clients over the past 31 years to listen to their inner wisdom and let it guide them on their true path. You can learn this too on Soul Suitcase with Victoria Cohen. Your soul suitcase is packed. Are you ready to start your journey?
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question. Always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? beingyouclass.com.
called the Oprah of Radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.